Welcome to the City Heart Podcast. I'm Pastor Kevin Reed. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that you're encouraged and enlightened by this message.
But if you're on the Bible app, or if you have your actual flippable Bible in your hand, who has an actual Bible? People don't like to bring Bibles to church. Let's look at the real Bibles in the church. Give it up for that. Real Bibles. It's amazing. It's amazing. I know technology has spoiled us, but there's still some people who believe in turning the page. That's such a good thing. Man, if you have your Bibles, turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, Mark's in the New Testament of your Bible. It's the second book of the New Testament. You got Matthew, and then hang a right, and you'll run right into Mark. We're going to look at Mark chapter 12, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 30. Verse number 30 says this. It says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." If you would just stick something right there in Mark 12 and 30, we're going to come back to that. If you have an actual Bible that you actually can stick something in there, go ahead and do that. And turn back one book. We're actually going to look in Matthew at one singular verse, and then we're going to jump into our message, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 33. Look, you can obviously look on the screens. And it says this. It says, "Seek," everybody say, "seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Bow your heads. Let's pray for just a moment. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity, for this moment where we get to hear your word. I thank you for the worship that has gone forth, for your presence that's already in the room. And Lord, I pray that in this moment that you would be magnified, that you would be glorified, that, man, that resurrected king would come alive in us. And as we hear your word, that it would be your spirit would be strengthened in us. Lord, that it would be magnified even with us, that we would begin to recognize you in all that we do. I pray that you would open up our ears, that we might hear, open up our hearts to receive everything that you have to say to us today. And God, I give you the glory for it, for everybody in this room and at the sound of my voice. And I pray that you would challenge us and encourage us in your word today. In Jesus' name, we all said together. You got to say it louder. We all said together. All right, that way I know you're not falling asleep on me, that you're actually listening to what I'm saying today. I appreciate that. Man, but as I said, we've been in a series called Unbreakable, and we've been talking a lot about the fact that many times we try to do relationships outside of God, right? And I don't know if you've seen that. I've done that at some, a couple points in my life where we always kind of want to do relationships separate from God, separate from what he's trying to do. And here's how we do it. We try to compartmentalize God into a particular section, right? We like to hold God. God, I'm cool with you on Sunday between 6 and about 12:30, right? You're good right there. Any other time during the week, I really, I'm kind of cool with God. But on Sunday between 6 and 12:30, God, me and you, we tight, right? And that's where we like to keep God. So on a Monday at your job, or on a Tuesday, you know, when you're hanging out with your friends, or whatever it might be on a Friday night, or if you're going to the movies or whatever it is, man, we try to do relationship separate from God. It's like we don't want to include him in. It's almost like we're afraid that if God gets too close that we're going to get burned, right? That man, if I open up the door a little too much, man, too much light's going to creep in there. I got to close it. There's one thing we do with my daughter right now. I have an 8-month-old, and she's at that age where it's like she's right at the point where we're like, basically we're in sleep training right now, so y'all pray for us because it's the craziest thing, but at this point right now, we have blackout curtains in our room, right? And we want it completely pitch black. And here's the reason why, is because we want her to actually go to sleep and stay asleep. It's this novel idea, right? It's a new thing called sleeping that we're trying to get babies to do. We're trying to get help her to figure out. But here's the thing right now, it happened the other day. It's like I walked into the room and I just happened to crack the door, right? And in our hallway, we have lights. There's a light right outside the doorway that turns the hallway lights off. And I knew that in her room, the lights were off in the room, and we had, the lights were on the hallway, and I forgot to turn off the hallway light. And she's in, her crib, and I just wanted to go in and I had to get one thing out the room. And she's in there sleeping. It's pitch black. Can't see anything. And, man, I was like, man, I just got to get this one thing out the room, just one little thing. And so I made the mistake of not turning off the hallway light. and I open the door. And this is a little, just a little peek, just a little sliver, about the size of this paper, right? Just a little sliver of light came into the room, and I saw her head popped off. I was like, oh, man, come on. But that's how we are with God sometimes. It's like we try to be like that with God, right? We want it completely pitch black, and God's trying to come in, and sometimes God, you know, we're kind of afraid that the light's going to be on, and we're going to let God in to our room, and just a little sliver. God would kind of keep him in his little closet in there. God, you stay there and you stay asleep right there, right? And we're afraid that if we open the door just to hear, God's going to pop up. Oh, is that you? Right? He's going to start talking to us. That's what happens. We try to compartmentalize God into spaces in our lives. But, man, when we do this, man, when we put ourselves, it says here, we put ourselves in a weak and a vulnerable state when we try to do relationships outside of God. And I would argue, really, that doing life separate from God leaves us in that same condition. We try to disclude God from our lives, not even just our relationships, but even just from our life. We try to disclude God from our life. The same thing can happen. It leaves us weak and vulnerable to the enemy. We've been talking about, you know, kind of the enemy's power, and we said that really it's only influence, that he has no authority over your life. But even in that influence, if you're not hold, if you're not resting in God, if you don't understand your relationship with him, if you're kind of wishy-washy with it, that it leaves an opportunity, it leaves a kind of a window for the enemy to come in and begin to try to use his influence to impact your life. And we're saying, man, what we want you to do is to become a person that is unbreakable, that you have unbreakable relationships, that, man, no matter what happens, no matter what comes, because I know the Lord is in my life, that, no man, whether the wind blows, whether the waves come and crash over stuff in my life, that, man, I'm going to stand strong. I want us to have relationships that look like that. And here's what happens when we do separate from God. The Bible actually says, if you look in Isaiah, it talks about how when we separate ourselves from God, man, God's face is actually hidden from us. Right? When we try to do stuff separate from him, it's like he can't even hear us. Right? What happens sometimes, we close the door on my daughter when she's sleeping, and we do that. Why? So she can't hear us. So that if we talk, I'm the type, I want to talk in normal tones. You should sleep whether I'm talking this loud or this loud. Right? I want you to sleep either way. But a lot of times, man, when we try to separate ourselves from God, it's we're putting ourselves in a place where he can't even hear our prayers, the stuff that we've been praying and asking about, because we're trying to keep him out. God, you stay out the room. I'm not going to open that door because I know that you're just going to come in and you're just going to take over my life. Yes, that's what we want. That's what we're looking for. But that weakness and vulnerability that we're talking about here, what we see it, man, it's clearly seen in situations where, last week we talked about friendships and we talked relationships in general. So today, I'm going to talk about dating and being single. Everybody say, ooh, scary. All right. About dating and being single. And this is an area where you can see that weakness and vulnerability come in. It's in those times. And a lot of times we try to approach God, particularly in the area of dating, we try to approach it separate from God. Like we don't want to really have God be involved in. But man, I'd argue, right, that if you're single and you're looking to be a relationship, if you're currently in a dating relationship right now, man, you're really in a great position. Right? And you might be saying, well, Pastor, I've been single for a long time. Like, I'm waiting for my Boaz to come on along. Like, where's it happened? If you've been single for a while, you might be saying, well, why am I in a good position? Everybody say, why? I'm going to tell you why. It's because I believe it's because you have time to get you together. Right? You have time to get you together. Right? I'm married, been married almost 10 years now. And I was trying to remember, Lord, what did it look like when I was dating? And then I didn't want to remember anymore because it was a very sad time. But I remember in that time, man, I recognized there was a moment in time where I recognized that my stuff wasn't together. It wasn't just money, right? And it wasn't just how I looked or anything like that. It was really the condition of my heart and my life was not really together. And I remember being like, man, there was a point where I was about, you know, a certain age. And I was like, man, I reached that moment where I was like, you know what? I'm ready. I'm ready to settle down. I'm ready to be with this, you know, find somebody to be with. But if I'm honest, I was kind of messing around. Can I just be honest today? Right? I was kind of just doing my own thing, sowing my wild oats right out there. I'm just gonna be honest today. You might get a little bit raw today. I apologize from the beginning. Right? I was kind of out there doing my thing, but I was ready to kind of settle down, ready to pull my stuff together. But then I realized, you know, man, I got some work to do. If I looked in the mirror, I didn't look so hot in the mirror. When I looked at my life, I was saying, man, there's some stuff I got to pull together. And I realized this fact that, man, the fact that I'm single, the fact that I'm by myself, I'm not with anybody right at this moment, man, I have some time. It didn't take forever for me to get myself together, but I had some time to get some stuff together. We've been talking about establishing, man, what do unbreakable relationships look like? And we said that, man, if I'm going to be in an unbreakable relationship, then I have to start with me, right? It's going to have to start with me first. I don't want to get into a relationship with somebody else and I'm still broken, right? There's still stuff in my life that I haven't quite begun to work on yet or quite fixed. Man, I don't want to be in that place. And so I'm saying, man, you have time. If you're single, even if you're dating, you have some time to get that stuff together, to get yourself in tune, on the right tune, on the right dial with God. Some of y'all remember, some of y'all who are a little bit older like me, right? Some of y'all remember, right, back in the day before digital radio, right, in the car now I can just hit boop and it goes right to the exact station. When we had to turn the dial and you had to get it exactly right on, come on, I'm not the only halfway old person up in here, right? You had to turn the radio a little bit, right, to get it to tune into the right station. Right, and if you went like just a hair over the line, it would, right, and you had to try to go back the other way, but then you went too far the other way. Come on, y'all know another one, right? And so you had to tune the radio to the very right station. Let me give you another example. TV, who remembers the bunny ears? Right, yeah. See, there you go. Right, and you're trying to hold them up, you're trying to position them right. Right, and then sometimes they kind of cockeyed this way, right, on your TV. And if you're real kind of hood, right, you maybe have some aluminum foil on there. Come on, I'm not the only one who's seen that before, right? And then, right, if something really important came on and there was too many people in the house, that would mess up your signal. Right? And then your grandmother make you, hey, stand there. You had to be like this the whole night. And you're trying to watch the game, but you can't because you're kind of like, can I move? No. Sorry, that's me personally. But man, but that's what I'm saying, man. We need to get in a position where we're like that with God, that we're tuned to his station. That we're so locked in on what he's talking about, on what he wants me to be, that, man, Lord, it don't matter what position I need to be in. If I got to stand like this, man, am I in tune with you, God? Am I right? Oh, okay, great. Whew, I'm trying to stay right there. Oh, okay, right. I want to make sure that I'm in tune with his signal, that I'm right with him. And how do we do this? We read it earlier, Mark chapter 12, verse 30. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Our life is supposed to be tuned to God's frequency, every part of us. There shouldn't be anything left out that we're kind of, you know, this angle is off, and so we're getting just a little bit of static. No, we need to be in the right position where God can work in your life. I want to be tuned to his channel, to his right frequency, to what he's trying to do in my life. Now, if you're here, if you're a single person, you're dating relationship, man, as I said, it's a great time to kind of position yourself where you can say, God, I'm giving you my all. So that's a question I'm going to ask you. Man, have you given God your all? If you're single, if you're dating, man, have you done that? Have you given God your all where you're not looking for somebody else to complete you? Where you're saying, God, before I get with anybody else, before I can relationship with anybody else, I want to make sure that I'm in tune with you. Before I'm trying to tune to somebody else's channel, man, Lord, let me make sure that I'm in tune with your channel, with what you have going with me. And man, is all my heart devoted to you? Is all my mind, the things that I'm thinking, is that devoted to you? Is all my strength, my whatever I have, is that devoted to you? Have I given it all? Have I given it all to you? Can you really say, if you're dating or you're single, I'm not even going to look, are you in a healthy, unbreakable relationship with God at this moment? Can you really say that? So a lot of times we desire to be in a relationship with other people, but we're coming into it in an unhealthy state. We're coming into relationships in a broken state, and then we wonder why we're seeing so many broken relationships, so many divorces, so much stuff like that. It's because when we come into these relationships, a lot of times we're coming in completely broken. We're not sold out to God, and so it's so difficult for us to be in connection with somebody else. If I can't even submit myself to God, how am I, as a wife, going to submit myself to a husband? Or if I'm a husband, how am I going to be submitted to my wife? Because it works both ways. How am I going to do that? Man, if I'm broken, if I can't do it with God in my life, if I can't say, Lord, here, have my all, the kind of stuff that I want you to see, the stuff, even the stuff, Lord, that I've kind of hidden from you before, man, if are you willing to let that stuff come into the light? Are you willing to let that sliver, that little crack of light break into your room and let God wake up? Like, oh, you're here. Are you willing to do that? Because a lot of times, man, we want to date with like, Lord, Pastor Kevin, I've been single forever. Like, I'm waiting. I'm looking at my clock. My biological clock is ticking. If you're a dude, you're like, man, I'm kind of, is there anybody out there for me? Because it's not just on the ladies. There's some dudes out there, too, that's been looking, and they're like, whew, I'm getting kind of old. I want some kids. I want to settle down. You're kind of in that place. And I'm saying, okay, great. Let's do that. But the first thing you need to do is make sure that you're working on yourself. Because before, as the verse says, before you can love your neighbor as yourself, you have to recognize, do I even love myself? Do you love yourself? Do you love yourself? And here's the thing, I'm not talking about love as far as sex. Let's not confuse the two things. Because a lot of times we start talking about love, particularly in our culture, in our day and age, it immediately turns to sex. Because here's the deal, and I can say this because I'm a pastor. If you're not married, you shouldn't be having sex anyway. Oh, I should get an amen on that in a church on a Sunday. Good Lord. Woo, Jesus, Lord, praying right now, right? Man, in the equation of giving your all to God, does sex come in as a single person or dating person? Why? Because I'm saying, Lord, I'm giving all of my stuff to you. This dude, he can just look, but you ain't touching the glory and the goodness that God has given me. Why, God? Because it's all yours. So before I'm trying to give anything away to anybody else, before I'm trying to do anything with anybody else, I want to make sure that, God, I'm aligned with you, that I'm aligned with your word, that every part of me is aligned with you before I start trying to line up stuff with anybody else. I'm making sure that I'm aligned with you. But a lot of times what happens, we're trying to line up and do stuff with other people before we even are aligned with God. You can't do this, but we trying to do it. Lord, I'm getting in trouble. My wife's because she's going to kill me later. Lord Jesus, forgive me right now. Right, we're trying to do everything else. I'm sorry. Y'all forgive me. We're trying to do everything else except for do the thing that God is asking us to do, and that's the saying, just be still in a relationship with me. Lord Jesus. Whew. It's a tough one today. Okay. And here's the thing. I'm not trying to dog anybody. You know why? Because I was there at one point myself, if I can be honest. I was doing everything with everybody I wasn't supposed to be trying to do it with. Thinking I'm cool, thinking I'm G, thought I had a little bit of game. It was horrible. When I say a little bit, I mean a little bit of game, right? I thought that I had it there. So I'm speaking as a person from experience. When I look at Mark 12 and verse 30, man, if I haven't kind of mastered that yet, if I haven't given God my all, and I wasn't there for a moment, but when I met this girl, when I first met her, I was in a place where I wasn't all together. So I was saying, Lord, man, let me get it together. Let me make sure that, Lord, before I jack somebody else up, and I met her, and it was my older sister, she was like, man, you should talk to Andre. And I was like, okay. And before I even talked to her, the Lord checked me in my heart and was like, whoa, 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 dude. I don't want you to jack this up because you jacked up enough people. You've kind of done enough stuff where you have messed up other people. You've wasted people's time. You've done stuff where you haven't done it the right way. You haven't lived holy. You haven't dated holy. You've kind of just been doing your own thing. This is my daughter. I don't want you messing this up. So get your crap together. And you know what she did? She came with some standards that I had to, man, I looked and I was like, ooh, I got to get some things together, man. Wow. She came and she was so confident, and she might not have been, but she looked like that way to me. But see, man, it looked like she was so confident in who she was and who God had called her to be. And she was at the place in her life where she was so devoted to God, she was giving God her all, that I recognized, man, if I'm going to be with her, I better have my stuff together too. If I'm going to approach her and be trying to talk about anything, man, I have to come correct. Because I knew when I approached her, the conversation was going to be different. Before, the conversation was, I'm always out of my message right now, but I'm going to keep talking. Right, before the conversation was, right, I just want to be with you. Let's hook up. You know what I'm saying? Can I come up? Can I be honest with y'all? Can I come over? Man, around about 11, 12, 1 o'clock, Texas. Don't act like y'all don't know. Texting somebody, right? I'm texting people when I shouldn't be texting people at 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. Like, hey, are you up? What are you doing? Right? I was doing all of that stuff, and the Lord checked me. He was like, you can't do this relationship that way. And so when I came in contact with her, I recognized, man, I have to get myself together. I have to make sure that my heart and that my soul and that my mind and my strength is fully immersed in God. We talked a couple weeks about God being the mortar. Right, that he's all in and around us when as a brick. He encompasses all that we are. That's what when we say we're giving our all, that's what we want God to do. We want him to be in and all around everything. And so for me to approach her, I had to recognize, man, I have to get to that point. This Mark 12:30, it's not just a formula for holiness. And I want you to be holy. Please be holy. I'll say it again as a pastor. Please be holy in your singleness or even in your dating life. You should be doing it holy, right? But even outside of holiness, and that is important, it's also a formula for wholeness. Because a lot of times we want to come into relationships and we don't have it all. Not that you have every I dotted, every T crossed, because we're still working on our stuff. But man, I should be pursuing God with all. And that's what helps me to be whole. We're talking about the resurrecting king. He's resurrecting me. So that stuff that was dead in my life, the things that, man, I got wrong before, when I allow God to come in, when I give him my all, he begins to turn that stuff around in my life. He begins to resurrect the dead things in my life and bring them back, man, to a place where now I can approach this girl and say, hey, on AOL Instant Messenger. Ooh, I'm dating myself, girl. And be like, hey, girl, let's go out. Let's go to get some Red Robin. Y'all don't even know what that is. Let's go get something to eat. That was our first date, wasn't it? Yes. Right? Aw, yeah. But, man, I want to be whole. I want to be complete and fulfilled and intact. And that doesn't come from another person. It comes from God. If I'm looking for fulfillment in my life, a lot of times we're trying to look for other people to be the fulfillment of what God's trying to do with us, when that should be found, and it's only found in the Lord. That's where it comes from. But this is where the enemy comes in, because he loves when we try to function from a broken standpoint. He you're going to try to date this girl and you're broken? Great, I'm going to jack you up and I'm going to jack her up too. So he's saying, man, live this Mark 12:30. Why? Because I want you to be not only holy, but holy as well. I don't want you to be complicit in breaking somebody else. We do this. A lot of times, we not only do we break other people, but we break ourselves because, man, as the song says, we're looking for love in all the wrong places. We're not looking for it in God. We're looking for it for everything else. And so what it does, we've been talking about this for the last few weeks, it puts us in, you kind of see these three things that happen, these three areas where the enemy tries to torment and mess with our minds and mess with us and puts us in a bad place. The first place is loneliness, right? It's loneliness, and where we feel isolated and alone. We feel friendless, and if you're single and if you've been feeling this, I get it. I understand it. I get it. I've been there. We feel like we have no one to turn to, that we're forsaken, that we're abandoned, that we're rejected and unloved. We're unwanted and outcast. What the enemy tries to whisper to us in our ears, what he's trying to tell us to convince us that, man, I'm single and this is how I feel. But God has a different way of looking at it. We're going to get to in just a moment. And then this loneliness, man, it can lead us to despair. Right? Because I feel lonely and because I feel unconnected, I feel outcast now, man, I really feel hopeless. And I'm discouraged. And I'm distressed. And it leads to depression for a lot of people. Because I'm single, or, man, I haven't found the right person yet. We're continually kind of in this place. And you know what happens as a result of that is we do things out of desperation, right? We start dating people out of desperation, people that you know you shouldn't be with out of desperation, people that don't meet particular standards out of desperation. And what happens is that, and so in desperation, what do? We make rash and extreme decisions, and we start to exhibit rash behavior. We start doing stuff that is not in line with the character that we're trying to be in God. And you know what it creates? It creates a cycle of brokenness. It's a cycle of brokenness. Let me show you what that looks like, the cycle of brokenness. Y'all can put it up, right? You have, what happens is we're lonely, right? And then what happens? We start to feel those feelings of despair. And then because we feel this despair, we start acting in desperation. And you know what that desperation leads to? Loneliness, right? Because we haven't fulfilled what we're trying to fulfill in our lives, and so we get lonely again, and then it just perpetuates itself over and over again. It's so funny, we're talking about cycles this morning, right? We kind of get in that same place where over and over again, this is the trap of the enemy. He wants to continue to feel lonely, like we're by ourselves, that we're outcasts. And whether you're single or dating or even married, you can feel like this. And it leads to moments of despair. And then it leads to moments of desperation where you start making just crazy and awful decisions. And out of those decisions comes loneliness again. Then he wants us to stay there and be trapped there. He would love for us to just live there, but God has a different way. And as I said before, you won't find fulfillment here. You won't find fulfillment ever in a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a fiance or a husband and a wife. You can only find it in God, and that happens through a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important to be all in for God, to have every part of you be in for him. How do I do that? Matthew 6:33, we read it earlier, says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. And I love this part. And he will give you everything. Everybody say everything. He will give you everything that you need. Not everything you want. He will give you everything you need. Sometimes we want stuff that's not good for us. We want stuff that we don't need to have. It may look great on paper. It may look good on Instagram. It may look great on Facebook, but it's not what you need. Y'all ain't talking to me today. So, right, he's saying seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need, right? And so this passage right here is really the reverse. It's really the opposite of the plan of the enemy. I like to call this is a cycle of fulfillment. If you look in this verse, this is a cycle. This is how God operates. This is how he fulfills our lives. When we seek God, what happens? We begin to live righteously because there's no way you can really truly seek God and not live according to his word. It's impossible, right? You begin to live righteously. Then what happens? You get everything that you need. When I get everything that I need, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to seek God again. Because of God, man, you did this before. I know that you're going to do it again in my life. And so now that I've sought God, you know what I want to do? Man, Lord, man, this worked the last time. Maybe I should start living righteously again. Maybe there's some other area in my life that I should be, man, I should start turning around and getting in line with you. Why? Because, Lord, you promised me that you'd give me everything that I need. This is from Jesus. This is exactly what he told us. It's what he said. So if you're looking for a husband, don't start looking for a dude. Seek God. Begin to live righteously. Because what's going to happen? God's going to give you everything that you need. Well, my wife will tell you, and at some point she'll tell you her story, when she was ready to get married, she didn't look for me. You should have looked for me. No, she didn't look for me. You know what she did? She looked for God. And the same thing happened to me when I was like, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready to find a wife. I didn't go looking for Drea. She was already there. We already knew each other. Had a relationship. We're friends, but I didn't see it. But you know what happened? I began to seek God. You know what, God, I'm kind of ready. I'm kind of ready to make some moves in my life, to really be a man, to kind of step up to the plate. and to stop doing the stuff I've been doing before. And you know what happened? I started to live righteously. I started to serve a lot more than I had. I was serving already, but I started to really serve. I started to really give. I started to really live holy in my life, to cut some stuff out that just wasn't like God. That just, man, it wasn't blessing me. It wasn't bringing me any benefits. And you know what happened? He gave me everything that I needed. And you know what? Because of that, right, I got two odd moments in the sermon. That's, I'm doing good today, right? And because of that, you know what happened? Man, I had to seek God again. And allow me to seek God again. So in my marriage, I'm saying, man, God, I'm seeking you. Why? Because it helps me to live righteously. When I focus my eyes on you, man, it makes it so much easier to not be dissuaded by the stuff that the enemy says that's going on in my life. I don't have those feelings of loneliness when I'm seeking God. I don't have those feelings of despair when I'm truly seeking God. I don't have to act out of desperation, man, when I have sought God. Why? Because he allows me in his will to live righteously. And so the stuff that I'm wanting, the stuff that the enemy says I can't have, I know that's a lie, because he's already promised me that I'm going to give you everything that you need. Man, I do this. I live this righteous life by having the Holy Spirit, by having the kingdom inside us. That's what Jesus came to do. He came and he lived a righteous life, but then he left. And he left us a deposit of the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of us. It's that kingdom that lives inside of us. You know what that does? It produces in us something great. Galatians 5:22-24. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against this stuff. This is great stuff that you should be wanting and doing, right? And I love this verse. It goes on, it says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there, right? So where I may have been dating before and allowing my passions to dominate, I'm saying, you know what? I'm going to crucify that stuff to the cross. I'm giving that stuff over to Jesus, and I'm leaving that there. Why? Because my pursuit of God is going to produce in me this stuff that I see here. It's going to produce love in me. It's going to be joy. And I'm saying to you, man, you want to have unbreakable dating. You want to have a kind of be in a place, even if you're single, where you're in line with God. You know what you should do? Start living out this fruit. Start seeking God, and you'll start to see this stuff begin to apply in your life. And you know what else will happen? You'll start seeing other people that live this out. And if you're dating, or if you're single and you're looking, right, you're single and you're ready to mingle, right, or if you're dating and you're like, okay, I'm kind of checking this person out. They're kind of checking me out, and hopefully not too much checking out is going on, but you're checking each other out, having conversations, right? This is the stuff that I would be looking for. When I really wanted to start really being with somebody, when I was looking for my wife, it wasn't, Lord, y'all forgive me today. I got to say, it wasn't booty I was looking for. I was looking for this stuff. I was looking for character, right? I wasn't looking for body. I was looking for character. I was looking for integrity. I was looking for somebody that could bring me love, that could bring me joy. But you know what I figured out was that person had to have it for themselves. And I had to have it for myself. And that my hope and my trust was not finding it in her, it was finding it in the Lord. Unbreakable dating. Unbreakable dating is done righteously. If you look up dating in the Bible, you won't find a lot. Look at the word dating. You won't find really anything. You don't find it in there. And so what we really have to look at is kind of basically what the word says about relationships, and you can apply it to what's going on in life, in our lives. If you look in the culture of the Bible, what the predominant way that people got together in marriage was through courtship, right? And then you were kind of assigned a wife, or you were assigned a husband, right? Nowadays, we look at things like personality traits. We're looking at compatibility, and that's what we're kind of focused on. But I want to give you three tips. If you're single and you're ready to mingle, you're trying to say, okay, I want to get on the dating scene, and okay, I get you. I need to get some stuff together. Here's what I'm saying here. I just want to give you three practical tips as we close out. Three tips to help you, right, to achieve unbreakable dating. Three quick tips. I'm way over time. Right, three tips to help you with unbreakable dating. The first thing, you want to date someone who walks with the Lord. You need to date someone that walks with the Lord. I want to choose, and we've talked about this already, I want to choose a like-minded person, a like-hearted person, a like-soul person. and a like-minded person. I want to choose more than what I'm seeing. If I'm doing all I can to live 522, I should be looking for somebody that embodies, man, those same traits. I want somebody that is, man, who walks with the Lord. Second thing I want to do, almost done. I want to date like I'm courting. What do you mean by that, Pastor Kevin? Man, back in the day, right, you had, when you dated, right, unlike today in a lot of ways, it was between one man and one woman. There wasn't a side chick, right? There wasn't the kind of an extra person on the side. You dated, it was between one man and one woman, right? And here's the thing about it. Marriage was the goal. Marriage was the goal. Right, so I was able to crucify those passionate desires. I had to put that stuff aside, right? And here's what happens when you courted. When you courted, you dated around all of your family and your friends. It was out in the open. You wanted them to be a part of it, and they demanded to be a part of every part of it. There was no secret, I'm just going to do this my own way. Let me give you an example. I love The Godfather. If you ever seen The Godfather 2, right? Michael goes, and he's over in Italy, and he goes to the guy that owns the shop. He sees this girl, and he's like, oh, man, she is bad, right? And he goes, and he wants to be with her. You know what happens? They go out on a date, and it's the entire family that goes on a date. It's like 40 people, and that's their first date, right? And they're all walking together, and they're walking and talking. I don't think they even hold hands during the movie, right? But they're walking and talking. It's literally all you see is Italian grandmothers walking behind them like, okay, yeah, you don't get too close, right? We need to start doing that again. I know it's kind of old school, but what would happen if we allowed ourselves to be open and accountable to some other people that could give us some good advice and some good knowledge, that if we had some family around, maybe we wouldn't see the divorce rates that we're seeing right now. Maybe we would build some relationships that stayed together longer. Right? Because we're saying, you know what, I'm going to be open. Why? Because I'm seeking God and I'm living righteously. He's going to give me everything I need. So I don't care if my family's around. I don't care if they're involved in my life. You know what? I want them involved on this side so that they're not looking at me crazy on the other side once I do get married. They know that I've picked a person that is right for me, that has the qualities that they expect in my family. We don't talk about that stuff anymore. It's like, I just want to be who I want to be with. Don't tell me who to date. Right? I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. But I'm saying, man, let's include some people. Date like you're courting. Right? Third thing, and we're done. Date with God in the mix. Date with God in the mix. He's the mortar. They used to say back in the day, leave room for Jesus, right? You go to a dance, right? And you get too close and get a little rule out and I'll leave some room for Jesus. I'm saying the same thing. Leave some room for Jesus in your relationship. Leave some room there. Matthew 6:33, same thing we're talking about it. Man, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything. If God is in the mix and I'm seeking him, man, that next part of it, I should be living righteously. That's what I should be pursuing. As I close here, I want to share this verse because I recognize that what can happen sometimes, especially if you're single or dating, especially if you're single, is that you may have been asking God to help you find someone or asking to be in a relationship, and your focus may have been off. It may not have been, God, I'm going to seek you versus seeking a particular person. Even in our lives, even if you're married and you're saying, Lord, I mean, I want a better relationship, you may have been looking to the other person for that fulfillment versus looking to God. What is required of us in any relationship, what's going to help us to fulfill that Matthew 6:33 is trust. You have to be able to trust that God has your best interests at heart. If you can't trust that God has your best interests at heart, it's going to be very difficult for you to do that triangle of fulfillment, that cycle of fulfillment. It's going to be very hard because, A, it's going to be hard for you to seek God if you don't trust him. If you're not willing to give your life to him, if you're not willing to give him your all, it's going to be very hard to trust him. It's going to be very hard to live righteously if you don't trust God. It's going to be extremely difficult for God to give you anything that you need if he doesn't know that you trust him. You don't give stuff to people that you don't think trust you. I'm not going to give you stuff. Man, you don't trust me, I'm not going to give you anything. The trust has to be in there. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will give you the desires of your heart, is what the KJV says. He will make your path straight. Man, he's going to put you on the right path. Man, I want to be on the path to marriage. I want to be on the path to finding somebody to be with. You know what you need to do? Trust in the Lord. Put your trust in him, in your relationships, in your dating, in your marriage, in your life, whether even if it's in your finances. Trust the Lord. He wants to give you what you desire. He wants to put you on a straight path, but it requires us to trust him. We want to be in unbreakable relationships. Bow your head, let me pray for you.
Thank you for checking out this message from City Heart Church. If you'd like to hear more from this series, or if you'd like to hear more about our church, you can check us out online at cityheartjackson.com, or you can check us out on social media at cityheartjxn.